This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Doe Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
This month in the news, astroseismology and astroarchaeology. A white dwarf is the hot stellar core left over from a star, which has exhausted all its fuel for fusion and has blown away all the outer layers of gas via strong stellar winds. Commonly, white dwarfs are composed of carbon and oxygen, the byproducts of helium fusion which takes place during the end-of-life stages of a star which is similar in mass to our Sun. However, there is a different sort of white dwarf that exists, one formed in the core of a star which was never given a chance to undergo helium fusion because of a catastrophic event that stripped the outer layers of the star prematurely. These helium-rich white dwarfs have much thicker atmospheres of hydrogen and masses much smaller than typical carbon-oxygen white dwarfs. What makes these sort of white dwarfs interesting to study is that they form in extreme environments, such as the centre of globular clusters, in the orbit around supermassive black holes, millions of times the mass of the Sun, and as the survivor of its companion's supernova explosion. Currently, the understanding for how low-mass white dwarfs form is poor. Helium white dwarfs, which show particular characteristic differences, have been seen to both cool rapidly and retain their temperature consistently. To be able to understand how it is possible for helium white dwarfs to possess both of these properties at the same time requires that we find a star which we can study and know will one day form a helium white dwarf. Fortunately, the Wide Angle Search for Planets project known as WASP came across just such a star. An eclipsing binary where one star was having its outer hydrogen layers stripped away so that one day all that will remain is the helium-rich stellar core, a helium white dwarf. A team of astronomers since that time have been using instruments provided by the European Southern Observatory to study and model the star and make predictions as to what properties the helium white dwarf will have when it is formed. This is done by taking observations of both the light curve of the star and its spectrum over long periods. By doing this, the astronomers are able to measure the waves that roll along the surface of the star and which pulsate from its core. These waves then give a detailed insight into the internal structure of the star and the forming helium white dwarf hidden within the outer layers of hydrogen gas, using similar techniques to how seismologists investigate the internal properties of the Earth via waves through and along the ground caused by earthquakes. If the astronomers are able to successfully predict the properties of a helium white dwarf from its progenitor star, then it will allow for other helium white dwarfs to be classified. This will allow for astronomers to probe more easily the properties of extreme astronomical systems, such as the centre of globular clusters, and the environments around supermassive black holes. Also, the study of the age of pulsars relies upon the thorough understanding of helium white dwarfs, since both types of stars are regularly found in orbit around each other. Also in the news, elliptical galaxies are a type of galaxy that are very different to the more familiar spiral-type galaxies, like the Milky Way. First, they come in many different shapes and sizes, from the tiny dwarf galaxies that may contain only a few tens of millions of stars to giant galaxies with thousands of billions of stars, which is vastly larger than the Milky Way. The structure of an elliptical galaxy is not dominated by rotation, like spiral galaxies are, but instead, all the stars are in independent trajectories that are bound together by all their mutual gravitational attraction. Another feature of elliptical galaxies that makes them vastly different to spiral galaxies is that they do not form any new stars, because they consume or blow away all the gas and dust required early on in their lives. This means that the red, bloated stars found within elliptical galaxies formed much earlier on in the universe, in a burst of very rapid and very efficient star formation that might last only 1 billion years, and occurred roughly 11 billion years ago. However, the largest elliptical galaxies provide a small problem for galaxy formation theories. They have formed hundreds of billions of stars much earlier in the history of the universe than should be possible. We know this because we can estimate how fast early galaxies are forming stars by measuring the bright infrared emission from dust clouds being heated by many short-lived massive stars, and then also counting how many of these stars go supernova per year. One way in which very large elliptical galaxies can form is by mergers between two elliptical galaxies long after star formation has ceased. Since we see large elliptical galaxies have formed 7 billion years ago, and we know that they have ceased star formation 10 billion years ago, this leaves only a few billion years in which elliptical galaxies can be merging together to form the giant elliptical galaxies that we see. These sorts of mergers have been observed, with many examples seen of galaxies tearing each other apart as they collapse together. However, this method does not explain all the large elliptical galaxies. At best, it can explain how two-thirds of the large elliptical galaxies came to be. Last month, new research published a different method for which large elliptical galaxies could form, backed up by observations of galaxies swelling with light from millions of newly forming stars. These early galaxies were much more turbulent than galaxies at the present time. For comparison, the Milky Way may form about one star per year, whereas earlier galaxies could form hundreds of stars per year. However, to be able to form elliptical galaxies with hundreds of billions of stars requires that a galaxy has thousands of stars being produced per year, and that there is a high efficiency for which interstellar gas is consumed to form these new stars. In order for a galaxy to achieve the required star formation rate of over 1,000 per year requires the collision and merger of two already violently active star-forming galaxies, known as starburst galaxies. This is exactly what astronomers have found. Two starburst galaxies merging around 11 billion years ago. Although it is impossible to ever observe the product of these two galaxies, through simulations it is possible to predict the star formation rate of both galaxies combined, and it is found that it will be enough to produce the large elliptical galaxies observed in the more recent universe.